Amos chapter 1. We're going to spend a few weeks here in Amos. Amos is a lot like a lot of the other prophets, and in the fact that his primary job, his primary duty, is to pronounce judgment not only on nations surrounding Israel, but more specifically on Israel. And I'm just kind of giving you kind of a history here. Amos, the first couple chapters, he's pronouncing judgment on other nations, Gentile nations. And he's very quick in this. He's very specific. He's very, he doesn't spend a lot of time elaborating. And then the next few chapters after that, it starts in part of chapter 2, and it goes over through a few chapters. It's talking about judgments that's coming to Israel. And he's very much more specific. He's much more purposeful in his words when he talks about this. And, you know, I kind of, just as a preface, I guess, before we get started here, you know, God's concern is with everyone. And God's equally judgment because of our sin. But when it concerns God's chosen people, and I'm not a replacement theology. I don't believe that the United States of America replaces Israel or anything. In fact, I don't even believe that the church replaces Israel. I don't believe that. But there are principles that do apply to when it comes to the character of God, if that makes sense. And you know, and I think God very specially, you know, sometimes people wonder, well, why did so and so leave the will of God, and doesn't seem like God's judging them? Okay? Or why does it seem like God doesn't, the rules and the laws of God don't apply to, all right, certain people? Well, I believe that God has a very special care for his own children, all right? And as a Christian, I am a child of God. And so I believe that God has very specific things when it comes to his children, and very, you know, there's a lot of kids that run around in this church, but you know, I may get onto a kid for running in church that's not mine, but you know whose primary responsibility and who I will come down hard on is my kids. And so I think sometimes, many times we wonder about people that seem like they just go out and lead the will of God and nothing ever happens to them. I would want to know, are they really a child of God? Because God's very specific when it comes to his children and the way he deals with his children. Anyway, that's kind of the first few chapters thing. But we're going to talk about Amos himself this morning. And so we're going to start in Amos chapter number 1. And there's several things here that I think are interesting in the book of Amos. But we're going to start with the man himself this morning and talk about Amos. So Amos chapter number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." Let's pray, and then we'll get into this about our study with Amos this morning. Father, it was good to be here this morning. It's good to see all the buses arrive safely, and thank you for that. Pray that for all the Sunday schools that will be going on right now at this time, and I pray that you'd help the Sunday school teachers as they teach. Lord, fill them with your power. God, I pray that you'd help the young people that are here today. I pray that they would listen. I pray that they would be involved in the Sunday school lesson, and that they would just be able to learn, take something from it, and help it just not to be an idle time, but help it to be a time of learning and discipleship. God, I pray that you help us here this morning as we look at the life of Amos. And not much is said about Amos, but Lord, we can draw some truths, we can draw some things from him. And God, I pray that each one of us would be ready to be used by you in whatever capacity you would have us. And Lord, I want to be a willing vessel, and help me this morning to be willing. Help me to say only what I should, Lord, and just be an encouragement to the folks here, and maybe a challenge as we look at the next generation and look at different people. And I pray, Lord, that we would always be willing and always be ready to do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So who is this man, Amos? He was a Jew, obviously, from the land of Israel, all right? And he prophesied in the northern king, or in the land of Israel, during the reign of Jeroboam the second, all right? Amos, if you notice, remember Uzziah, there's another prophet that ministered in the year that Uzziah died. Remember Isaiah, all right? So Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah had his vision, okay? If you remember that from Isaiah. Well, this is during the days of Isaiah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he gives that as kind of a time reference for these people that would know that. And the Bible says in verse number 1, if you look at that, the Bible says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. The herdmen of Tekoa. Now, this is interesting. There's not a lot of times that the Bible specifically gives you many times where this person came from. Okay? And I think it's interesting with Amos that the Bible very specifically put in that he was from the herdmen of Tekoa. The herdmen of Tekoa. Now I'm going to look at this man Amos, and this is primarily what I'm going to look at him, is how God uses different people. And I don't understand the will of God. I don't, you know, and we try to get so many of our young people and you know, as they're growing up and as they're teenagers, to commit to go serve God with their life. And I think that's important. But do you realize how many, if you really think about it, how many men of God were called actually later on in life? And it's not always how many men of God were called not in their teenage years. Yes, there were some that were called in their teenage years to serve God. But how many of them were called when they were 30, 40 years old, okay? And I think there's a significance there because, anyway, let's get into this. Let's go to Amos chapter number, we're going to skip several chapters here because there's something interesting I want to show you in Amos chapter number 7. And we're going to read this chapter, this whole chapter. So we see that Amos in chapter number 1 was a herdman of Tekoa, all right? Amos chapter number 7, verse number 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was a latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will arise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. But I was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. And thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. So Amos here gives a personal biography, if you would, of who he was. All right. So he references once again that he was a herdman of Tekoa. Okay. And he references that. He didn't say Tekoa, but he says a herdman. He references that here. And a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And Amos said, I was no prophet. I didn't grow up, if you would, as a prophet. I didn't grow up as a preacher's kid. Okay? And what I want to say this morning is, you know, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of young people that, listen, they don't have to be a pastor's kid. They don't have to be a deacon's kid to go do something great for God. Okay? You know, I was thinking about this morning or last night and this week. You know, Pastor Robert Ross, you know, he wasn't a pastor's kid. He had no church background. All right. But God still said, all right, I'm going to use him. Now, there's some attributes about being used by God, and I think that's important. Okay. You say, Brother Chad, what's God got for you in your life? I don't know. I mean, for right now, I believe I'm in the perfect center of God's will. Okay. I do. I have perfect peace about where I'm at right now. But you say, Brother Chad, how does somebody get to where, you know, they're supposed to be, do something extra for God? Well, I think it God lays it on their heart. But I'm going to look at some criteria that I believe, and I'm going to just mention people to you that were used by God, and I want you to think about this. Because listen, all of us, regardless of age, well, I'm too old. Well, hey, I don't think God puts an age criteria on who he uses. I don't think so. I think the criteria that God looks for is not, it's not about age, it's about character, and it's about a willingness to do things, okay? So we see that Amos was a herdman. He was a herdman of Tekoa, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Verse number 15, look at verse 15 of chapter 7. And the Lord took me, how? How did the Lord take him? What does it say? As I followed what? The flock, thank you. As I followed the flock. There's several other people in the Bible, all right? I want you to use your minds this morning. Several other people in the Bible that God called as they followed the flock. Can you give me one of them? David, all right? There's another one, very well known. Moses, all right? We'll go to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then we have the story of Moses being called, being commissioned by God to go free the children of Israel, okay? So we have another man that was following a flock. He was, if you would, he was just involved in the daily duties of life, okay? That's what he would, but you know, he wasn't slacking, okay? I try to tell our young people, you know, I hate to say this, but, and this is true in Bible colleges, and I hope you understand what I'm about to say, but you know, for God to call men of God, you know, there's one word in there that they have to understand is that God wants men, okay? A man of God needs to be, first of all, he needs to be a man. And I'm not just talking about ladies versus men. I'm talking about he needs to be a man, okay? And you look at how many people in the Bible, you know, we've got these in our Bible colleges, and this is just maybe a soapbox thing right here. But, you know, we've got so many guys that, you know, they want to come to Bible college and they want to serve God, but they can't even hold a job, there's an issue right there, okay? I'm not saying everybody has to be able to do everything, but you ought to at least be able to hold a good job, okay? How can you care for the house of God if you can't even care for your own things, okay? And we're producing, and I think Blessed Hope does a good job, okay? Now, pastor says sometimes, who are going to be the elite of our Christian, if Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't producing these guys, these young men that can be, listen, for the most part, our young men are willing to go work. They're willing to do stuff, okay? They got to step up above a lot of other places, all right? And so if Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't producing the men, who is? I'm not saying there's not other churches out there, but you've got to have the Amoses that are tending the sheep. You got to have the Moseses that are tending the sheep. What was Elisha doing when God called Elisha? When Elijah came to Elisha and called him, what was he doing? He was plowing. He was plowing. He was a farmer. You realize how many farmers in the Bible God called? A lot. A lot of farmers. And it gives, Bertrand, why did God call a farmer? Well, I think a farmer has a unique perspective on a lot of things in the Bible. Sheep, how many times does the Bible talk about my sheep shall hear my voice? You know, how can you really understand a lot of the things in the Bible? It talks about a husbandman, okay? And there's a lot of things in the Bible that God uses. Hey, it's okay to be a farmer, and it's great. It's a great life, okay? I think it's a great life. But there's also the opportunity that God says, hey, I'm going to use him, all right? And we see that, all right, David. David was following the sheep. David was, I thought about this. David was first a champion of the sheep flock before he was a champion of Israel. David fought to protect those sheep before God ever used him to fight to protect Israel, all right? Elisha was bearing the yoke, if you would, of work before he ever bore the mantle of God's power, okay? And there's these different illustrations in the Bible that God says, all right, I'm using common people. And you know, that's the thing that I love about this story about Amos is just one of the herdmen. One of the herdmen. If you would have come up and said, hey, did you hear what, you know, Amos is going and prophesying? All of them are like, Amos the herdman? What did they say about Jesus? Is not this the what? Son of Joseph. Or the carpenter's son. The carpenter's son. They didn't know him as the, you know, they didn't know Joseph or Jesus as the Son of God. All they knew Jesus as was, is not this the carpenter's son? The guy that comes in and fixes our house when it's broke? The carpenter's son. Okay? And God doesn't, well, you know, bless God. And okay, I'm all for a young man when he's, you know, however old being called into the ministry. But I think it's even more neat sometimes when a young man that is already, hey, isn't that so-and-so that used to work down at, you know, the coal mine or the farmer or now he's a preacher? Well, you say, well, is that happened? Tell me one instance in the Bible. I mean, I know that there's some, you know, Jeremiah was from his mother's womb supposed to be a prophet. But that's one that we specifically know about. Look at how many others were born into something else, and then God said, I'm going to use him. Why? Why does God use these people? I'm going to give you a couple things this morning. Why does God use these people? Why does God use the common man? First of all, I believe that God uses the common man because it shows, I'm going to try to word this correctly. I should have written it down. It doesn't make sense the way I wrote it down, so you don't want me to read that to you. It shows how God can make the impossible possible. Okay? I think if you would have asked Pastor Ross if he would have ever been comfortable standing up in front of in a pulpit preaching to people, he'd been like, no way. There is no way. And you look at how many people in the Bible, I think that God, Moses was the same way. You know, the excuse that God gave, or Moses gave God, is, God, I'm slow of speech. I can't talk to people. And then he's like, well, can I get Aaron to go with me? And God said, all right, take Aaron. But where did you see in the Bible that Aaron really ever said anything? You know, when God gives, God uses people that it's impossible for them to do something. I think it was Dr. Jorgensen that was here recently that said, you know, the reason God uses the impossible because it is impossible. And the only way it'll happen is with God. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We have Moses from leading the flock of God, from leading a flock of Jethro to leading the children of Israel. We got David, the champion of the sheep coat, to being the champion of Israel. We've got Peter, James, and John, fishermen to fishers of men. All right, look at all these people that God called. And you know, honestly, God didn't. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm all for a young man that feels like he should preach, be called to preach when he's, you know, however old, 12, 13, 14, that's fine. But I thought of this verse the other day. I don't even remember what I was thinking about it. I was actually deer hunting, oddly enough. I was able to go a couple times this week. And I was in my tree stand, not thinking about deer hunting really at all. I was thinking about that verse, and I should have wrote it down. I apologize. But it talks about, let not him that putteth, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, let not him that putteth on the armor boast as him that taketh off his armor. Basically, what it's saying is, you know, the guys that's getting ready to go to war, he shouldn't be bragging like the guy that just came back from war. That guy's still alive and he just came back. Okay, this guy, young pup's getting ready to go, and I think there is something to the experience of life. You know, Jesus didn't start his earthly ministry till he was 30. Okay? You know, Joseph. Joseph is many times a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Joseph became ruler over Egypt when he was in his 30s. Okay? But all the trials that Joseph had to go through his whole life, prepared him for that day of opportunity. Okay? And I think many times we're like, well, you know, and I know this is maybe not the correct age group, but you know, our young adults, my generation, why wouldn't it be, well, they've already got, you know, their life ahead, they've already started their life's course. What would be wrong with God calling somebody in my age group to be a pastor? There's nothing, well, that's just not, it should be the teenagers. No, look at the Bible. Look how many of my age group God said, I want you to go do this. Because what is it? God sees that at least, you know, you've got some years of service. God sees that you've been faithful, okay? So anyway, go to 1 Corinthians, did I tell you chapter 1? Excuse me, I've been fighting a cold. I think it's a cold. I've been working on my boiler for my house. And I was doing really good yesterday, like as far as my nose was starting to clear up and everything. And then Brother Don, I got this firebox. It's a 30-inch firebox. Well, thankfully, God's blessed me being small of stature. So I'm inside this, you know, 30-inch tube, basically. It's 4 feet long by 30 inches around. And I'm curled up in a ball on the end of it, and I'm welding all these boiler pipes. I had 15 of them, double-pass welds on all of them. So I'm breathing all this welding gas and all this stuff. And so I come in the house last night, and literally, I mean, my nose would not stop running. It's gross. But so it's not helping me any this morning. So I apologize for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So I believe that one of the reasons God uses people like Amos, like Moses, was first of all because God can take the impossible and make it possible. Okay? And secondly, when God uses somebody that comes from the sheepfold, and when God uses somebody that comes from the fishing boat, okay, they know that they don't deserve to be where they're at, if that makes sense. Why does one reason that we're given in 1 Corinthians that God uses not the noble, not the mighty, not the wise, all right, verse number 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. One thing I remember about Pastor Ross growing up is that he always gave glory to God. Always gave glory to God. It wasn't anything that he accomplished, okay? It was all that God did through him. You look how many people in the Bible that God took from where they were and then was able to use them, and they gave God the glory, okay? They gave God the glory. Whereas the Pharisees, okay, why didn't God go choose a bunch of Pharisees to be his disciples? They knew more Bible, didn't they? They were already living right. Yeah. No, he went and got sailors, probably the extreme opposite of what the Pharisees were. The guys that couldn't stand the Pharisees. Well, that's just a bunch of hypocrites. Okay? Well, how many times do you hear that? And don't get me wrong, because of the things I do, I deal a lot with men of the world. Okay? And I'm just going to say this a lot, and this is not true with our pastor. Thank the Lord. But a lot of men, true men of the world, don't have a whole lot of respect for what I would say are men of God. I'm just saying that. Okay? They don't see them as an equal as far as what they're able to do and what they're able to, if that makes sense. And I don't want that to sound bad, but that's just the nature of it. Okay? And you know, I think a lot of times there are certain mind blocks that guys have because, well, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, okay? And you know, but how can these guys how can a Peter reach a man? How can a Pastor Robert Ross reach other men? Because he can relate to him. He knows what it is to show up at work every day. He knows what it is to clock in and clock out. He knows what it is to work hard and to try to make the bills, you know, try to make ends meet. He knows what it is, all right? And I think that there is something to being called because you're, you know, how do you think Amos would be able to relate to the herdman? Yeah, I think so. I think he would be able to relate more to the common man than somebody that was you know, always called to do whatever. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. But ultimately, it comes back to, are you able to give glory to God? Are you able to give glory to God? Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were all fishermen. They were all fishermen. First, they could relate to the fishermen. They could. They could relate to them. But they could also, they knew where they came from. Well, I used to be a fisherman. And now God made me a fisher of men. All right? And so I think that's important. I think that's important. So we see that God uses the base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And I think it is important that we realize, listen, all of our, you know, sometimes it's discouraging. I think it's, to me, you know, sometimes you look at, well, we don't have any young men that are called to preach right now. Well, I think that ought to be in the heart of every young person, every young man that we produce here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There ought to be a heart that at least wants to serve God, okay? But just because somebody's not called to preach right out of Bible college doesn't mean that God can't call them to preach or that God can't use them in some other avenue down the road, okay? Because listen, how many of these men that we've just talked about has God using? That's not an English word, used after they've spent years serving, after they've spent years already working, okay? So just keep that in mind. I've heard of older folks, retirees, that God has laid something on their heart and said, I want you to go do this. And maybe it's not going to the mission field. Maybe it's not going and doing something where you have to go out and it's a high energy thing. But you go and I've heard of guys going and helping other churches. I've heard of ladies doing things after they're retired because they've got more time. They've got financial stability, okay? And I think we need to all be open and receptive. I know I want to be. I don't know what God's got for me. I don't know what God would ask. You know, like I said, I think I'm where God wants me to be right now. 5 years from now, what does God want you to do? I don't know. But until then, I want to stay faithful. Okay, I still want to do what I'm supposed to do, all right? So we see that in the life of Amos. And then in 1 Corinthians, we saw that they're supposed to give glory to God. And I think that's huge. We talked about Moses leading the sheep. We talked about David. We talked about Joseph, James and John, Peter and Andrew. Listen, God called Matthew. I'm not just talking about, you know, what we would consider, you know, well, that he was a fisherman. You know, that's a man's job, all right? But listen, Matthew was a tax collector. But you know where Jesus called him at? Was it at his house on vacation? No. He was sitting at the receipt of customs. He was doing his job. And God said, hey, I want to use you, all right? And I think it's important that we understand, you know, look, God's not looking for laziness. God's not looking for laziness. He's looking for people that are willing to go out. He's looking for the herdmen that, what did Amos say? What did Amos say that he was? And the Lord took me as, that's progressive, as I was following the flock. As, okay? And I think it's important that we see that God wants, he wants faithfulness. He wants faithfulness. And sometimes I think God doesn't always choose. God doesn't always choose, well, that's just for the young people to do. I don't think age has anything to do with it. All right? I think it's a willingness to do what God asks of us to do. All right? And it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 30 or 60. It's a willingness that you say, all right, God, this is what I've done my whole life. This is all I know. Amos probably, that's all he knew was being a herdman. Elisha, all he knew was maybe plowing with oxen. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, I believe all they knew, they were the sons of fishermen. All they ever knew was fishing. But they said, Jesus said, follow me. and they left their nets and followed him. It's a willingness. It's also knowing that, hey, I know I used to be a tax collector. I know I used to be a fisherman. I know I used to be a farmer. And there ain't no way that a farmer is going to stand up here and say, thus saith the Lord. But with God, all things are possible. So let's pray. Father, Lord, this has just been a challenge. If nobody else in here was helped by this, Lord, you kind of spoke to my heart about it. And Lord, I just want to be a vessel that can be used by you, Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to be clean. And God, I pray that you'd help us, regardless of our age, regardless of our position or what we do, or God, I pray that we'd be willing, we'd be just people that can be called from the sheepfolds or from the plowing or for whatever it is, God, that you would just help us to be willing. Lord, we desire for our young people to turn out right. But God, I pray, Lord, that they would just determine that no matter their age, that we would always be sensitive to your Holy Spirit leading and what you would have us to do. And God, I pray that you'd give us the power, give us the courage. Lord, I kind of know what Moses felt like when he stands in front of people. It's not a comfortable thing. It's not something I enjoy. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just give us the power, that whenever you ask us to do something, you would also enable us to do it. And I pray, Lord, that we just give you the praise and glory for everything that's done, regardless of how small the task or how big the task, God, that we would give you the honor for it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us and just the way you do show yourself strong. Pray that you'd help the morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.